Popcorn's really good tonight.
Salty.
Typical Big Ten game, I think. I had some concerns coming in. More about this game, actually, than I did the Minnesota game. That's not to slight Minnesota, just the fact that so long off and traveling and a one-day prep. And I will admit I am a big fan of one-day preps. I don't mind those games. I've played them a lot in my career. But, you know, just the mental sharpness and the mental focus and then the fatigue. I thought that we got off to a really good start. And then I thought that foul trouble obviously was a big piece of the end of that first half. But more importantly than that, you know, it's one of those things that as coaches and as a head coach, I try to make decisions on how to play guys with two fouls. And I've pretty much determined with Trent, DeMonte, and Kofi, I'm going to play him with two. And yet tonight I don't. And one of the things that there's one of my favorite ladies back there, but I just saw her make my damn free throws. I missed that, by the way, Jamara. I think the one thing that I felt like that they were some close call. The game was being called really closely. I thought, you know, Kofi's fouls were a little, you know, at the rim. Fats Russell does a tremendous job of getting downhill, and so I chose to set him. We had a 14-point lead, and we obviously went down at half. But I'm more disappointed in the fact that I didn't think we played very well in that stretch with any rhythm offensively. We got to get better at that. I thought the ball became stagnant, and everybody knows that I thought we got good looks, but we shot them out of rhythm. My hat's off to DeMonte Williams. Unbelievable job defensively in the second half. I'm playing DeMonte. I played DeMonte 36 minutes tonight, and the whole Dante Scott, a guy he's given up 4 or 5 inches to, we'll go light 25 pounds, maybe more. He just made his touches hard. I thought Trent did an unbelievable job tonight of making Ayala's opportunities more very difficult. But this is a good Maryland team, a team that's was ranked, was picked at the top of the league, and has a lot of experience and a lot of veterans out there. So we knew they would make a run. And then I thought Kofi's second half was just dominant. And, you know, that's what Kofi can do. And 18 rebounds, 23 points, most of those, you know, obviously in the second half. So very fortunate tonight.
Sure, Jeremy.
Brad, you guys have been shooting the cover off the ball, and then tonight you don't, but you find a way to win. How were you able to find a way to win?
It's our whole mantra of this program. It's our whole identity. It's what we talk about all the time is when the ball doesn't go in, how do you win? When it doesn't go in, there's going to be that night. There's going to be a night in an NCAA tournament or two when that thing does not go in, and it gets really hard. And, you know, I think you do that with defense, and I think you do it with dominant rebounding. I should mention Coleman Hawkins, 8 rebounds, 6 offensive, and gave us opportunities. And we had one of those nights, and we looked like a team that had played 36 hours ago, 48 hours ago, and wasn't quite clicking, weren't in the right rhythm tonight.
Doug?
Coach, coming off one-day rest, and it's kind of an Ironman situation with Trent Frazier, who went all 40 minutes. Kofi played all 20 in the second half. Did the guys have to dig down a little bit deep for some extra energy in this one?
Yeah, the good thing is I don't ever have to worry about Trent being tired. You know, he's the Energizer Bunny. He's always got that energy. The timeouts hit right. I tried to sub Kofi out at 2 different occasions in the second half, and he literally said, "I'm good, don't take me out." And you know, that's when you trust your veterans. He's not trying to be a hero. You just trust your veterans and to how they feel. So, you know, DeMonte playing that long, you know, and you know, again, I thought we got great combination of Demonte, Jacob, and Coleman all did a nice job tonight. Scott?
That stretch in the first half when Kofi was out and maybe the offense did get stagnant, did that just maybe illustrate how important he is beyond, you know, scoring 23 points, maybe just how much he opens up?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's, you know, everybody's got to figure out how to guard him and what they do. And, you know, this is a copycat league. I mean, you know, people are going to see how, you know, they didn't do anything tonight that we haven't seen. Minnesota changed a whole defensive scheme to play us, you know, instead of going under because of our three-point shooters, and they chose to single cover him. So everything's going to be predicated around how teams choose to defend him. But our rhythm, our ball movement was really slow, and, you know, we missed a couple opportunities at the rim, and Jake had an uncharacteristic tough night, but that happens, and we just got to learn to play in better rhythm.
Alec.
Yeah, because you talk all the time about how much confidence you have in Trent Frazier to knock down shots. He hits two threes in a row, and those seem to be kind of a big swing in the game. He says he goes on these heaters. For you as a coach, how much fun is it for you to see him do that on a routine basis now?
Yeah, he's very – I mean, we've seen that now for a lot in his career. And the good thing with Trent is it doesn't matter if he's one for 100. It's the next shot for him. And it doesn't bother him, and he finds an opportunity, and he just jumps up and knocks him down. And he gets a couple looks, and he gets that feeling. Now, he's we all know he's very capable of 30 and a half, and we needed every one of those tonight.
Hey, Coach, you talked about Coleman Hawkins. How do you feel he's settling into that role coming off the bench?
Yeah, you know, we started him early, and now bringing him back off the bench, and I think he's settled down. I think he's understanding – he's where his role was. We were unfair to him early. You know, we had everybody out with injuries and sickness, and we were playing him at the point. We were playing him on the wing. We were playing him at the four. We were trying to play him some backup five. Now tonight we actually did play him a little bit at the five, but he's settling into his role, and that's been impressive. And I think we're going to start seeing those numbers like we have tonight and at Minnesota, and just continue to get better.
Andy?
I know kind of going – when you're at halftime and you know you're going to kind of ride Kofi a lot in that second half, what do you kind of tell him after being out for so long, and how do you kind of prepare him for just kind of what you guys kind of need to do?
Get loose. Really that simple. Get loose. Big boy, we're coming. And I thought we did a nice job. I mean, it's a simple answer to a – question that I think Maryland knew what we were going to try to do, but just get loose. He'd set for a long time, and the first play of the half was to him, and we were going to keep riding that until they guarded him or didn't guard him.
Yeah, Coach, obviously with Iowa in the building tonight and raising his jersey, and you got another guy on the floor whose jersey's probably going to go up as well. Are you able to step outside your coach's role and appreciate that, you know, over the last two seasons, these two players, you know, some of the best in Illinois basketball history and what they've meant to this program?
Yeah, there's so many people, and, you know, his mother sitting back here, I told the team afterwards, to me, this is what makes Illinois basketball so, so damn good and so powerful, and I use that. And, you know, here's a guy that chose to come to us when we weren't winning. We stunk. We were a bad basketball team, and believed in us. Iowa was coachable. He was a guy that was character over characters, filled that. But he's the definition of everything that we want our program to be about. And it's no surprise he's having a great NBA career, and he'll have a long one as good Lord blesses his body and he stays healthy. He'll play in that league for a long time. And but it's always really special to know, one, he texts me all the time. I'm following him. He's following us. He bleeds orange and blue. And this is always home. And this is always home. And he's one of 34. Is that right? 34 now?
I think so, yeah.
That have his jersey hanging up there. And the history of this program is so powerful. People don't understand it. All that being said, better young man than he is player, and he's a great player, and he'll always be special. These aren't, you know, hey, say goodbye, thank you, great job, good luck. Oh, these are lifetime relationships, and that's what we're trying to build here. The other one will come at some point, but it's fun to coach really good players who are really good people.
In the way back,
Brad, you had a long embrace with Io there at the end. You're able to share a little bit about what you told him, and do you agree with Kofi's assessment that you guys couldn't lose on Io's night?
They might have wanted to tell me that before the game. I think there's a lot of reasons to try to be special on a night like this, but I won't tell anybody what Io and I talked about, but it was fun. I have so much respect for him. Had a nice pair of shoes for him that we had made up, and he'll sign one. I'll sign one, and then we'll give him to a charity of his choice, and see if we can make a lot of money for somebody who truly we can help out that way. But fun night, fun to be a part of it, and a lot of love for that young man and his family.
Another one in the back.
Coach, two-parter for you. Number one, is this the type of toughness that you've been wanting to see all year long, playing back-to-back games in such a short period and getting two wins? But also, as a coach now, how do you handle this break you got before the next game, this extended break?
Well, we need the break. But yes, we talked about this before the game. This is an NCAA tournament format. This is a setup: Thursday, Saturday, Friday, Sunday. You've got to handle those situations, and it becomes as much mental as it does physical. I thought we did a pretty good job of preparation and understanding of that. But we'll take tomorrow off. Guys get treatments. Recovery is a big piece of what we do. And then it's nice we've got Saturday to work on us, and we really need to dive into situations and having an opportunity to continue to work on flowing offensively. But it comes at a good time after being – After two back-to-backs and a long layoff.
Right.
Maryland's a team that has given you some trouble over the past few years. Is there a way to defend the bigger wings and things they're posting up? They're running isolations with those guys. What's the key to defending those guys in those situations?
Well, I felt great that we got them into ISOs, that they quit running their stuff. I mean, that was everything they were trying to do, was play ISO basketball, and it was usually Ayala with Trent. And people don't realize how strong Trent is. But it usually doesn't involve other parts of their team when they're doing that. But again, it takes everybody. We've got to support. The thing I worry about as much as anybody is on the glass. When that happens, you get watching the ball, guys start crashing the glass. But I thought I don't worry about DeMonte. DeMonte's really strong. He's got great length. He's got that 7-foot wingspan. And then, Trent's just going to fight you. And then, I thought for the most part we gave enough support, dug a little bit when we needed to, and gave ourselves a chance to make things hard for him.
Scott and then Jeremy and Doug, go ahead.
Early in the second half, you were trying to pump up the crowd and really getting after it, and Tim had to hold Chester back. I mean, did you feel like you needed to maybe be a spark as well?
It's advantage of being at home. It's advantage of being at home. And Jamar, I love you. Thank you. Happy New Year. It's we miss the crush. I mean, I'm everybody comes. I mean, it's the student section is huge, and I just I don't know, I don't do that very often, and I just don't, and we needed everybody tonight, and we needed a little extra energy. We were fighting and competing, and like I said, I don't do it very often, and I'm a coach, not a cheerleader, but tonight we needed to elevate, and we did that tonight. We got two more without the crush now. We got Michigan and Purdue without the Orange Crush, is my understanding. So, people, right now, I'm just saying, get your rowdy on before those games, because we need them.
Hey, Jeremy.
Brad, there's a 32-year-old All-Star that came down here for Io. What do you think that says about DeMar, Io, and just the Bulls' support for him so far?
Yeah, they had a great turnout tonight, and I think it shows that how well liked he is. It's got to mean the world to Io. DeMar's a guy that's having an NBA caliber year. The Bulls are extremely fun to watch. I'm a huge Billy fan. The job he's done and Mark Eversley and Arturas and putting that team together, it's been fun to understand it, how they've done it, and I love watching them. So that's cool, man. You know, that's what our guys were talking about in the locker room. They know how good DeMar is, and to understand that, you know, hey, that's one of their guys is hanging with him too. You know, and he is one of the best. But it's really cool, and it means a lot to Io, and the Bulls guys are always welcome at our place. We'll figure out how to get in front row anytime they want to come. Right, Josh?
We did. Yeah.
So, Coach, kind of a crazy stat. I don't know if I really have a question. Just like your comment on the, you know, 26 second chance points to only 4 for them. That seemed like it's kind of the difference in the game. What's that say about your team?
We emphasize offensive rebounding, and again, nights when that ball doesn't go in on the first one, go get it and try to get as many opportunities as you can. And we have to be a good offensive rebounding team. We don't turn people over a lot, and so maximizing opportunities and playing hard on the glass is something that's really important. Again, I thought we DeMonte has 3, Kofi 7, Coleman 6. Those are elite numbers, and that's something that, you know, we've got to continue to do.
Alec and then Joey.
Brad, Kofi talked a lot about the culture of this week and how it was a culture win tonight. How important was Trent for that at halftime when obviously the first half was difficult, and then to come out and respond the way you guys did?
Trent's always great because I asked him, I said, you might help if you'd make a shot tonight. He goes, I got you, Coach. And Trent's got a great way about him and a great perspective. He's got great confidence. He's been through it. But I walked in the locker room at halftime, and everybody's just okay. And everybody's good, and there's no it was very professional-like, very business-like, and they knew what they had to do. And I started to say something, and DeMonte jumps in. He goes, Coach, we already talked about that. We're good. Okay. And that's when you don't have to coach him, and they're coaching themselves because they know you're in a good place. You're in a good place.
All right, Joey.
Brad, when Trent's starting one of those heaters, is there any way that you know that it's about to take off? Like, is there eye contact? Is there body language? Can you just tell it anyway?
Oh, I mean, I try not to look at him. I just try to keep running plays for him. But you know, it's that quick with Trent. You know, he's that instant. You know, he gets one going and he finds a rhythm. And you know, I was mad at myself at Minnesota because I only got him one look in the first half, but he played the game the right way. But he's a guy I got to continue to try to get going sometimes, and because I know he's capable of that.
Okay, all right, thank you, Coach.
Thank you, enjoy the weekend.